Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guests are Michaela Hassler and Abram Stark, and they're from Maggie May Farm. Michaela, where is the farm located?
We started in Eureka. We took up a couple abandoned spots in the neighborhood and our backyard, and then kind of experimentally started farming those, and then just bled out into Lolita down the road. This last season, we farmed a small plot out there. But mostly it was just little kind of urban, we don't own anything, so it was whatever was available to us, we would come and clean it up and try to use it.
Now, Abram, what's your current land situation?
We were leasing in Lolita, but the lease went sour because the people who we were leasing from had issues with the trust. So the management for the trust has been taken over by somebody else, and they don't want to lease to us anymore.
And that's a difficult issue for farmers, is finding land, and you're investing a lot of energy into improving the soil in the land. It's kind of disheartening to lose the lease.
Yeah, that's a big investment because you're developing, you know, your irrigation and you're building soil and you're learning what you can grow where, and we hand farm. So we do a lot of really like tight, compact plantings. So it's specific what crops you plant in what places, and soil can vary in a really small area. So yeah, you invest a lot.
So the name of your farm is Maggie May Farm. How did you come up with the name?
We had a small dog that was a red heeler that we got, and she got in some rat poison and passed away. And it kind of coincided with the same time that we started farming, and so that's why we named it Maggie May Farm.
So Maggie May lives on.
Yeah, yep. It's a tribute to her. Yeah.
And we have our nephew now, so he kind of keeps watch on everything.
That's great. How long have you been farmers?
Well, this is my first farming venture.
I was raised with farmers. My mom and dad moved out to Central Oregon, where I was raised with no running water or electricity, and we were pretty like back to landers, but it wasn't necessarily farm ground. It was high desert. But my mom's side of the family had been in the Willamette Valley for 137 years. We homesteaded in the 1870s, and they were subsistence farmers with horses. They always farmed the same land that they had homesteaded on, which was taken from us during the Depression. But my grandfather had continued to live that way, but had rented and just kind of balanced. Like, he never owned land, but always would farm fallow ground, like using his horses to get his hay and whatnot. So I was just raised that way, and they always had their own gardens, and then he would glean fruit and everything, and we'd can it and then hunt and raise our own meat. So I was brought up doing that my whole life.
What brought both of you to Humboldt County?
Well, she brought me to Humboldt County.
I'm from here. I was born and raised. I was born in Fortuna, raised in freshwater. We always had chickens and a cow, and we had some country, some space. There was always a garden, but it was more recreational and just to kind of have some fresh food around. Never any industrial level or anything. Uh-huh. But yeah, we met in Oregon, and Abram's from Oregon, and then he decided to move down here.
And also, currently, my mother is married to a farmer up there. They farm 1,000 acres, and they do berries and corn and wheat. And so I've done that since I was 14. Okay. I've done the berry harvest and then driving tractor and just running crews. And so when I came down here, I met Michaela. I love this community because it embraces the smaller scale agriculture. And people like to call it sustainable, but call it which will. The down-home style of farming, people will support you. I mean, we do get a lot of support and encouragement from the community, which is rare.
Do you have mentors in the local community? I know you grew up farming, so it seems like you probably had a lot of mentors growing up.
I hang out with my dog.
What sorts of things do you grow?
We raise rabbits. We raise chickens, so we have eggs from the chickens. We have dairy goats. We don't obviously sell that in the community, but that's our dairy source. And then we have vegetables. You want to take that away? I mean, that's a
the vegetables,
coastal.
Yeah, leeks, kale, broccoli, carrots, beets. That's kind of our backbone. Like, I've been working on garlic, but currently, like, the land, we need land. We are looking for a few acres to lease because I have the sets to plant. We need to get them planted. And so that's something I have been working on, but right now I don't know how that's going to go. And then we're working on just trying to find backbone crops that are consistent and then sell, you know. And we're working on trying to take a different approach of doing more, grow more for ourselves and get, you know, like to purchase land and to get back to the basics where we'll be selling our surplus to sustain our farm, but really do the sustainable agriculture in the sense of no money and like try to get away from profit-based agriculture, which is difficult and hard. You got to have a piece of land, you got to know what you're doing. And so by using the market, it's great because we have that access to the community where we can sell our surplus and then use that to make property payments, make tax payments, to buy seed and feed for the animals. But ideally, we want to really start working on raising our own feed for our rabbit, for our meat, and then use that. That's a good cash crop for our farm because rabbits definitely produce extra. And then,
and they're, often.
Yeah.
And so that's a good one there, you know. And then like with there's the manure and other byproducts that you can use too. So they're a ruminant and they do coprophoria, I think it's called, is where they eat their own feces after they've digested it once. So they can make use out of things that most animals can't. They can eat like roughage. Instead of eating the leaves on a blackberry bush, they'll go for the dead stuff that's underneath it, the dead cane and the stuff that like a goat wouldn't eat. They'll eat. So I found that rabbits do surprisingly well on surprisingly little. So I want to work more with that. You know, I was developing that in Lolita, but we don't have that space any longer. So
yeah, we did have some rabbits free range this summer, and that was pretty exciting.
And they really, they thrive. They do really well in that environment. So we're working on that. And whatever else, you know.
We're just always experimenting. Yeah.
And it seems like the climates that you've been working in, a lot of these crops, you can grow practically year-round.
Oh, yeah. So, they all thrive year-round. You can't plant year-round, but they do thrive year-round.
So what do you do when the farmer's market ends? How do you sell your crops after that point?
We're still working at it. We're young at this. And like I said, we're still trying to figure out our approach. So currently, we've been planting for the market and just trying to sell what we have at the market. We haven't had enough to really the need to sell much more. I mean, the market in itself is surprisingly is a good, like we do pretty well. The community does support us well, and so we haven't needed to branch out so much, and we're not sure we want to, you know, like the wholesale, like to keep it local. We want to try to get away from that approach and try to really be sustainable and sell what we need to sell and eat what we grow, you know, and set an example and maybe be more educational in our community instead of trying to be so profit-oriented.
A typical day in one season.
A farmer has to do everything. A good farmer is a mechanic. He's a veterinarian, or they're a botanist. They're a father. They're a mother. Yeah, a farmer has to do it all. So you wake up and you get going like to work.
You have your basics. Like the animals always need to be tended to, so you've always got cleaning and feeding. Doing the year-round, it's like we can plant. I mean, you constantly have something you have to plant. There's something that needs to be weeded. And then if there's a market, there's something that has to be harvested.
There's like here on the coast, there's kind of two blocks of planting. You can plant, like you get your spring planting, and then that'll kind of carry you through until your fall planting, which will carry you through to your next spring planting. So you can stagger your plantings in between, but with what we try to grow, those crops tend to hold well on the ground. And like we do, us celery is another one we do. They're biennial crops, so they, you know, you get a good amount of time that you can harvest from them, and they stay good and tender here on the coast with this weather. So it's kind of like the block planting, so you get your plantings in. So it's planting time, you're planting, you know, and then they're like on top of everything else. So it's just more on top of everything else.
You're just kind of a maniac.
So you have like you have crazy periods, and then you have really crazy periods.
Do you look forward to the rainy days?
Sometimes you just have to put on the rain gear and go out and work, though. I mean,
well, best time at farms when you get free water. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the rain's not. I sometimes am a little bummed when it's really sunny for long periods of time because working in the sun, I kind of find it to be a little harder. Like, I'm really fair skinned, so I don't like to be sunburned. But I don't know. Sometimes I'm.
But
thankful.
She lived on the bay her whole life.
Yeah, the fog. I'm like, yes, another foggy day to work in. I'm so fortunate.
The vegetables love fog. The vegetables love rain. Yeah, broccoli loves rain. Broccoli loves water. So like, I don't mind rain at all. Like the rain's great. We're both from the northwest, you know.
Yeah, it's mild. I mean, definitely like there are in the peak of winter.
Irrigating is like a constant battle trying to keep soil wet when it's dry.
Yeah.
But when you have free water, rain, you know, raining in the wet season is great. It's wonderful. Like, the rain's a blessing. So, we love it.
Well, this has been a great opportunity. I've been speaking with Michaela Hassler and Abram Stark, Maggie May Farm. Keep an eye out for them.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, do I?
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.